You are listening to the Kezential podcast hosted by Mr. Andrade.
So, introduction, it's that time of the week again. We're after half term and we've got a brand new topic. The topic this week is classics. But before we get to classics, we've had a long wait. Hopefully you've got the answers to the geography questions before half term. If you haven't, here are the answers. So question number one was, which country or what country has the most islands? The answer that I had, which was slightly different to Mrs. Thorpe's, is Sweden, with approximately 22,000 islands that make it up, apparently. Again, I haven't counted them, so I don't know where that fact has come from, but I'm sure it's correct. Question two was, what is the world's smallest country? Again, debatable here, and I'm not sure Mrs. Thorpe may agree with me, but I've gone with the Vatican. Question three was the capital of Australia, hoping that it was slightly tricky and some people were going to think Sydney, but it's in fact Canberra. Question four was, name the largest, not the highest mountain range, and I've gone with the Andes because it's 7,000 kilometres long, with the highest point of 6,962 metres high. After that, question five was, what was the national flower of Japan, which is the cherry blossom. And question six, the final one, the bonus question, which was, how many time zones are there in Russia? Unbelievably, I think it's 11. 11 different time zones across Russia. So now we've done the answers, we have got Guess the Song. Guess the Song. Now, we're about to play it in a second. But I think, just as a reminder, it is another lockdown-themed bass song. So bear that in mind when you hear a little clip. And as always, see if you can get it by the end of this podcast. So I'm going to play it two times. Here's the first one. Brilliant. Hopefully it was all right. You heard a little clip. And I'll give you one more opportunity, which is now. Perfect. You've had two opportunities to listen to the song. We're at that time to introduce our guest. And this week we have Miss Pocock. So Miss Pocock, it's lovely to have you.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you, Mr. Andrade.
Oh, excellent. Now, our first question is a nice open one, which I think I've asked everyone so far, which is, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I was born in Kent. And I went to university in Scotland, which was as far away as I could get. It was a great adventure.
Yeah, far away from what or who?
Home.
Strangely, I did the same thing, which is why I went to York University. I was like, yes, I'll pick somewhere far away
and really
get some independence.
Yes, no, it definitely was independent, maybe too independent, I don't know. And then I went to Spain for a couple of years and taught English as a foreign language before I decided I've got to go back to classics and teach classics as I love it so much. And what else? I am really very into climbing, or I was before lockdown, stopped all that. And now I'm a bit more into chess, as you know, Mr. Andrade.
I do all the fascinating things, not two traditional activities you put together, chess and climbing,
no,
but I'm sure a brand new society testing both physical and mental ability,
yes.
I reckon we can come up with a cool hybrid sport, climbing chess, can't we?
That sounds good.
So my initial question, after telling us a bit about yourself, and I can't believe you've been to Spain and worked in so many different countries to start off with, is knowing that you teach Latin and classics, why is it so fun to teach?
Oof, well, you just get to talk about so many cool things, and it's your job. So, for example, with the fourth form the other day, I was talking about how to become a dictator and maintain power. You know, I thought it was important for them to know.
Just in case
they get
into politics.
Exactly. There were some scarily good answers, actually. my sixth form, we're talking about things like whether it's virtuous to do PE or we should just be concentrating on expanding our minds. With second form at the moment, I'm looking at Roman engineering in baths. And then, of course, there are just all the fantastic stories that I get to talk about and tell, all the myths that tell us so much about ourselves.
Oh, it's amazing. I think initially when people hear classics and Latin, they think about the language-based parts of it rather than all of the additional links that you can make.
Oh,
I think having those topics is amazing. So it leads me quite nicely to my next question, which I think you're automatically going to have some amazing answers for, which is classic still relevant in the modern world? I mean, quite a tricky question. What do you think?
I get asked this a lot, or what's the point of classics and what's the point of Latin? Obviously, we get asked that a lot as classicists. And what strikes me is that we're never really, what you never hear asked is, well, what's the point of art or literature or history or philosophy or linguistics? And really, classics is a mix of all of those things, and it's just the best opportunity to study such a wide range of things and gain such a lot of different skills. So I guess I'd say it's relevant perhaps if you want to have a rich modern world, if you want to live in the world with lots of knowledge and making lots of links. You know, when you go to the National Gallery and you see a painting, if you want to get more out of that and you want to be able to talk to somebody about it, then I don't think classics is for everyone necessarily, but I think certainly studying it will mean that you get more out of that experience. And I think we definitely need scientists and mathematicians and engineers more than ever now, and I recognise that. But funnily enough, I actually know quite a few scientists and mathematicians and engineers who have turned to learning Latin later in their life as a hobby. And I don't know why, I haven't asked them, but I imagine that they get something, they really feel that they need to fill that area of their mind. You know, they feel that they want to find out where all our ideas came from. They want to find out more about language, and they want to find out more about the culture, the Roman and Greek culture, which is the foundation of our world today,
yeah, our Western absolutely. World. Anyway. I think there are so many links. It's not simply learning the language, learning the topic, learning the stories, but actually Latin and classics is understanding, as you mentioned before, where we've come from, history, stories. You've mentioned engineering and the fact that they were developing and they were at the forefront of engineering. And I think the fact that it can develop a love of learning in itself is enough of a reason to study any subject, let alone classics, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Lots of people don't necessarily go on to do jobs that heavily involve what they learned at university, do they? But it's about building skills, and I reckon classics, just as much as many other subjects, they give you the skills for research, for analysis, for making connections and for communication. And I think the modern world needs people who can effectively communicate more than ever.
Fantastic. And I think that will build me onto a question later on, but before I get to that question, with Latin in mind, is there a particular Latin phrase that you think everyone should know, and why?
Oh, well, there are so many. One thing I'd say is never feel embarrassed if you don't know a Latin phrase that somebody whips out at a party.
I've got to admit, I don't feel embarrassed about that in
okay,
any
right.
way.
You're preaching to the converted. There are so many of them, but some are more famous and some have some great ideas behind them. So, for example, tempus fugit means, we usually translate it as time flies, but it doesn't quite do it justice because you often say time flies when you're having fun. It's not really about that. It's about the fact that life is fleeting, time is always moving on, and I suppose because of that you've got to make the most of time. That's how I interpret it anyway. So tempus fugit, time flees, literally. And you find that motif in so much literature and art later on. So I read a fantastic poem called To His Coy Mistress, Andrew Marvell. You may have done it in English already. And it's just full of this idea that he's trying to bring round his mistress into being with him. So he is saying that time is ever at our heels. Oh, I'm probably misquoting it terribly. The English department will hate me. So this motif runs through lots of literature. So I think it's a nice one to know, but also just to make the most of life. You know, that sense that we should make the most of life.
I like the fact that you look at it in terms of context, because often it's translating it literally, but there's also lots of debate about lots of these things, because in particular Latin relating to politics, it's really hard to understand the political agendas and context at the time. So we're just doing our best with what we potentially think it is, but I think that's even nicer, the fact that we can put our own sway and swing on things to make it apply to certain situations, which I think that this is at the same time, yeah, in particular with a poem, but it might apply slightly differently, like time flies when you're having fun. Which is really nice as well. So it brings us on to our final question, which is, if you're going to take classics at university, what sort of jobs can you aim to get once you've gained your qualification?
Well, I mean, the simple answer to that is almost anything. But classicists frequently go into the civil service. They frequently do law conversions. They might well go into business, and there are many classicists in journalism, so anything that involves writing, really. And of course, there are many who go into research and teaching. And the last one, of course, is politics. As you know, our Prime Minister studied classics.
You've actually beaten me to my next question, which is, what does Bojo and Karl Marx have in common? But I think you've got the fact that they do study classics. So yes, if you are aspiring future Prime Minister, potentially classics is the way to go. Or if you want to be a dictator as well, which I've suddenly realised in this podcast.
Yes, we shouldn't. Yes, we made that link. We won't make a comment on our Prime Minister.
No, I think that's lovely. So what we've got from this podcast in general is classics is really the way to go if you want to be absolutely anything at all.
Indeed, a great human being.
Fantastic. Well, those are all my questions. So it's that time where I ask our guest to provide us with a quote for the week.
Okay, well, this is a classics-inspired quote. It is, wise is she who knows she does not know. And it was thought to be said by Socrates. And I think it's just a good expression for us all, a maxim for us all in this time of information overload, to realise that we can never know anything, and actually it's the striving for knowledge. That's how I interpret it anyway. I don't know. It's the striving for knowledge that counts, isn't it?
Lovely. Say it one more time for us.
Wisest is she who knows she does not know.
Crikey. I'm gonna be thinking about that in my head and my own interpretation of it as well. So that was the quote of the week, which means we are back to our song. So I will give you one more play. Here it comes. Hopefully you got it. This week, building on my theme from last week, it is in fact... Help, I need somebody. The Beatles, Help by the Beatles. A gorgeous song representing the stress felt over the quick rise to fame of the Beatles. Their rise to fame was absolutely rapid. And it showed that there was a crack with in sort of the shell of emotion of the Beatles, and it showed a really sensitive side to all of them. And I think it's a really important lesson that sometimes simply we just need to reach out and ask for some help. And I think within education there are so many different people you can turn to. We've got a fantastic new school counsellor, you've got your incredible tutors, you've got basically anyone you trust. And I think that would always be my suggestion. If you need some help, just ask someone who you trust. Anyway, now we've heard our song, we are on to our competition, ready for next week. And this one is built on Latin phrases. We've clearly got a nice theme here. So if you want to email me with your answers, there are distinctions available. There is a virtual high five, and there is the potential for me to quote an incredible Latin phrase to you with any praise that I can. So here are the questions. Question number one is, what does this mean? Carpe diem. And again, just listen out if there are any corrections to my pronunciations. I'm sure there will be. Question two, one I think you should know, is cogito ergo sum.
Very nice.
Oh, good. I'm doing well so far. Question number three is Ven Vidi Vici.
Wayne Weedy Weechy.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I won't get into all the conversations we could have about this. I'll let you continue.
Good. I clearly wrote V's when I should have written W's.
No,
just to aid,
no, that's
just
not
to
true.
Aid my pronunciation.
Okay, I see.
Just to aid my pronunciation. Question number four is, what does the following mean? De facto. And number five is ad infinitum. Now, there's a bonus one, which you'll probably hear lots and lots, and you may use yourself. It's often written just as three letters, ETC, but actually it's et cetera. Can you tell me what that is?
What it means literally, perhaps.
Well, yeah. I take that back. What it means literally. Good. I'm glad I've got somebody that has helped me with all of those Latin questions. And that brings us to the end of our podcast. So I want to say a massive thank you, because we've had some amazing answers to some incredible questions, a lovely quote, as well as hopefully some really thoughtful music and some top tips. Which means it's a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
You have just finished listening to the Kezential podcast, hosted by Mr. Andrade.